Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
You know, people are really concerned about finding favor with men. Today we're going to look at something much more important than that. We are going to look at finding favor with God. And I hope by the end of this message, and pray by the end of this message, that you will see enough evidence from the Scripture that you should really concern yourself exclusively with finding favor with God, and let Him help you to find favor with men as He chooses. Read with me today in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and look at verse 26. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, the child Samuel grew on, watch it, and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. It is more important to have favor with God than it is to have favor with men. In other words, if you have favor with God, God will give you favor with men, as you see in this particular text. A couple of examples of God giving a man favor with other men would be Joseph and Israel, and they're not the only ones. There are many cases of this in the Bible, but in Genesis chapter 39, Joseph is in prison over a scandal, even though it was a lie. The keeper of the prison didn't know it, but the Bible says in Genesis 39:21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, if God wants you to have favor with somebody and you have favor with God, He'll take care of that. In Exodus chapter 3, Israel has been in captivity for a long time. God's getting ready to get them out. And the Bible says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord says, Moses is going to try to get the Jews out of Egypt, and the Lord said, I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. See, the Lord takes care of you having favor with the men that you need to have favor with when the Lord wants you to have favor with them. So too much time then is spent trying to gain favor with men. That time would be far better spent in favor with God. I've watched it. I've been involved in it in the years that I've lived and been in business and then been in the ministry. They call it hobnobbing, trying to get in good with people that can promote you and help you. You got to be real careful with that. People do it in churches. They do it in business. They do it in politics. Concern yourself only with this. Find favor with God. You say, how? Well, first of all, you have favor with God through worship. That's what we're reading about here in 1 Samuel chapter 2. You have favor with God through worship. When Samuel was born, his mother loaned him to the Lord for his lifetime. And when she took him to Eli and took him to the house of the Lord, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 27 and 28, Hannah says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, that's Samuel, he worshiped the Lord there. Now jump ahead and go to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and look at verse 18. Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child. So he was still a very young man, a child. Samuel ministered before the Lord being a child, girded with a linen ephod. So what Samuel did in the house of the Lord was not for himself. He ministered to the Lord. It was for the Lord. Eli and his sons, by contrast, were there for themselves. Eli was a fat man, had a stool, sat by the door. His sons, oh, they were vile creatures, what they did, stealing offerings and lying with the women at the door. Samuel didn't use his office to promote himself. Samuel didn't use his office to take advantage of others or to prosper personally, like even many preachers do today. Notice that as Samuel ministered before the Lord, he was, in verse 26, in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And in this regard, Samuel was just like the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. And that's the case as a young man, as a child growing up. The same with Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, when Jesus was 12 years old, so he's still young, he goes back to be with his mother and Joseph in Nazareth. And the Bible says in Luke 2, verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So Samuel's a very, very wonderful man in that he is so much like the Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry. Now listen, if God wants you to have favor with men, he'll make it happen. You don't have to hobnob with the right people in order to try to get in. And let me say this, if you fall out of favor with men, because, you know, that happens too, if you fall out of favor with men for having favor with God, so be it. Because that's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ when he prophesied in his own land. It's exactly what happened to Jesus Christ when he was crucified. They turned on him. But as he needed to have favor with men, God provided that. He didn't have to make it happen for himself. He didn't do miracles, for instance, in order to gain a reputation. As a matter of fact, he told him to keep quiet about it. He did those things to please his Father. So if you want to have favor with God, then you have favor with God through worship. What does that mean? That means when you go to church, it's not about, I mean, fellowship is great, of course, and I enjoy it, but it's not so much about that fellowship that you have with other people as it is about what you do in your heart for the Lord, singing unto the Lord with your heart, praying unto the Lord, listening, being available to minister to others for the Lord's sake, and a fellowship that provides for the unity of the Spirit. That's how you have favor with God. But that's not all. There's another thing in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 25 and 26. This is David in exile. He has to leave Jerusalem because of what Absalom is doing in the city. And when he goes, Zadok and all the Levites that were with him brought the ark to go with David, and David knew the ark didn't belong with him. The ark belonged back there at the temple, or back there at the place that David had made for it. And so in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 25 and 26, the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. You have favor with God not only through worship, that is, what you're doing for the Lord, ministering to the Lord, but you have favor with God through humility. You see, David did not presume when he left that God would show him favor, even though God had always been good to David. When Stephen is preaching in Acts chapter 7 about the history of Israel, he mentions David in Acts chapter 7, verse 45, and in Acts chapter 7, verse 46, Stephen says about David, who found favor before God. God had always been good to David. And yet, David had no expectations that God should favor him in exile. In other words, David left the choice whether God would show him favor to God. He didn't make that choice and presume that God should be favorable to him in exile because he'd always been favorable to him up to that point. Job was very much like David in this regard. God had really blessed Job, and then when everything was stripped away from him, and his wife said that he should curse God and die, Job said? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? He didn't presume that God should always be good to him just because he'd been good to him before. Now, I know we get used to God's favor, and we get used to being spoiled by the Lord. And sometimes we get the idea, because we are Bible believers, we deserve special favor with God. Hey, God's favor is God's business, not ours. Do you understand? So we have to remain humble before the Lord just because sometimes we feel like God's pet. He treats us so well. But I tell you what, that thing can change, and it's not that God doesn't still love us. It's just that the way that he shows that favor is not something that we should presume. We should always be grateful for it. Never, never take God's favor for granted. All right, here's another way to have favor with God. Turn with me to Job chapter 33, verse 26. Job chapter 33, verse 26. This is Elihu speaking to Job and to the men that were with him. And he speaks about God's favor. Job 33 and verse 26. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. Now we're going to see that prayer is a way to gain favor with God. He even mentions it here in Job 33:26, but keep reading. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. Another way to have favor with God is through righteousness. In other words, Elihu said to Job that God will render unto man his righteousness. And he's not talking about self-righteousness, which elevates man and abases God. Every self-righteous person you've ever met elevates himself in pride and abases God, that God should somehow be real pleased and recognize all this righteousness that the man has. No. No, he's talking about real righteousness done because it pleases God, not because it elevates man. This righteousness that Elihu is talking about is God-pleasing righteousness. Look in Psalm chapter 5 and verse 12 as an example. I mean, do you want to have favor with God? Then you ought to live in a right relationship with him. That means steering away from sin and those things that don't please God. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Now, I would rather have God's favor than man's praise. I'd rather have God's favor than a nickel or all the gold and silver in the world. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 2. Same kind of thing. Just really want to camp here for a moment till we get it. A good man, Proverbs 12, 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. All right? You want to have favor with the Lord? Be good. You want to have favor with the Lord? Do right according to his standard of righteousness. Best thing in the world to do there is to get saved, because then you'll have the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, and then yield to that righteousness so that you can live in a way that is pleasing to God. And when you do, you find favor with the Lord. You see, you find favor with God when what you do every day, you do to honor God, to serve God, to worship God. You find favor with God through humility when you don't take for granted his goodness to you, when you don't presume that he should be good to you. You humble yourself before God and are so appreciative every time he does show you favor. And in David's case, God did show him favor and did let him return back to the city. And then you have favor with God through righteousness, just doing the right thing, living in a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by yielding to the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you, to the pleasure of God. You have favor. And let me say this. If you worship God and humble yourself before God and are in a right relationship, you don't have any reason to question God's favor. You see? Because that he shows favor to people that do that. And then Psalm 119, verse 58. Here's another way to have favor with God. As we mentioned in 2 Samuel and in Job, prayer, through prayer we have favor with God. Psalm 119 and verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. The psalmist knew from God's word that the Lord is merciful. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. He knew it. And so he asked the Lord for favor. He said, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. You know something? That's a good prayer. I've had people come to me and they say, Preacher, I don't know if I'm in favor with God or not. Now, they don't use the word favor ordinarily. They'll say, I don't know. You know, if somehow or another, I feel like the Lord may be displeased with me. Well, let me say something that would be encouraging to you if you're concerned about that. Why don't you ask the Lord, like the psalmist said, Lord, show me thy favor. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Make God's favor more important to you than anything else. You know, it's an amazing thing, but when you concern yourself with your whole heart in finding good favor with God, by doing those things that please him, it's an amazing thing, but that assurance of that favor becomes very, very clear. But don't neglect to ask for that. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Proverbs 3, here's another one. Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Let not mercy and truth, Proverbs 3, 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Oh, boy, there it is again. You see, all of these are easy to find. You get a concordance and you find everywhere where a man has favor with God. And then you look in the context to see what's going on, where God demonstrates his favor. And here he says, you obtain favor with God through mercy and truth. Well, mercy and truth are the balanced pair throughout the Bible. They're like the Lord. You know, the Lord has mercy on the one hand and he's got truth on the other hand. And they're a beautiful pair. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In other words, if you come to the Lord and you're looking for his mercy, then be truthful with him. Often what happens is that parents extend mercy where there's no truth. In other words, parents are so desperate to be on good terms with their children. Children come and they have not made a true confession or spoken the truth, and the parents are so happy to have the kid around, they'll go ahead and extend mercy anyway. And that doesn't work, because the child just gets spoiled and gets worse. Often, on the other hand, those who know the truth extend no mercy. But God extends mercy where there's truth. And when these are balanced, then there's favor with God. And he says, bind them about thy neck. So you should always walk in mercy, extending mercy, and you should always walk in truth. And when you stand before the Lord and desire to have your iniquity purged, always speak the truth to him. And always look for his mercy. And you'll have favor with God. Let's look at another one. Proverbs 18. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. I want favor with God. Good. Here you go. Proverbs 18, verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Oh, there's a lot in that. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Today, a lot of marriages are started because the people just started fornicating. A lot of marriages start because he's good looking, she's good looking, and, you know, one thing leads to another. May I tell you something? It was God's choice to give Adam a wife. Adam didn't petition the Lord for a wife. God gave him a wife. It was God's design that the church should be the bride of Christ. We didn't come up with that idea. God did. In other words, when you look at those two marriages, the creation of marriage, that was God's doing, God's choice and design. When you look at the church and the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that's God's doing. So here, when you and I can extrapolate, if you will, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's not just some woman that's willing to shack up with the guy. This is a person who is a wife in the same thought of God's choice for Adam and God's design for Jesus Christ. The wife God is talking about here is the one of his design and choosing. Not just the one you lust after, the first one you slept with. And I'm telling you, this is the way people do it today. They get infatuated with what they see and what they hear, and they're like, we got to get together. The Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. These things should be left in the hands of the Lord. When you look at the doctrine of marriage in the Bible and the significance that it has to the church in Jesus Christ, the significance it has to what God did for Adam and Eve and the procreation of the race, this is not just some, I got online and I found somebody that Twitter painted my heart. This is a real soul-searching, leave it in the hand of God, wait and be patient, get control of your youthful lust, and let God do something. And I'll tell you what, when you let God do something in the way of providing the wife of his choosing, and you find that wife and she's a good thing, you're going to obtain favor of the Lord. But remember, when God gives you a wife like that, you are to love her like Christ loved the church. So don't just be thinking, I find somebody that cooks and cleans and sleeps with me. We're talking about a marriage that honors God and also yields his favor. One more thing, probably goes without saying, but it's very, very important. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10. This is just Israel finding favor with God right before the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10, the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls. This is Gentiles building up the walls of Jerusalem after the tribulation. And their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. You know how we find favor with God? Through grace. It was God's choice to give Israel this mercy. Israel really doesn't do anything during the tribulation to deserve the favor of the Lord. He has mercy on them for his sake. And may I tell you something? When you and I have the favor of the Lord, we don't deserve it either. We get in on the favor of God because God is favorable. He is kind to the unthankful. He's just a great God. Know you not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He's just a good, good God. There's none good but God, Jesus Christ said, and that's true. We don't deserve his favor. Israel doesn't really deserve his favor at the end of the tribulation. He just shows them his favor because he's God. And what am I saying? I'm saying you can worship the Lord. You can be humble. You can be righteous. You can pray. You can walk in mercy and truth. You can marry the right person. And none of those really qualify you for the favor of the Lord. It's just we know from the Bible he showed favor in instances where men did those things. You get favor with God because he's just that good, because of his grace. Now let me say something as we close this message today, just a brief summary and then a point to bring it all home. You want favor with God? Worship him. Make him the preeminent thought, desire, ambition, hope of your entire life, every moment of every day. Minister to the Lord. Through humility, never presume that God's favor of the past is assurance of the favor of the future. Always thank the Lord. And never take his grace and favor for granted. Through righteousness, don't expect the Lord to be favorable to you when you're living contrary to his word and righteousness. through prayer. If you desire more of the favor of God, ask Him for it through mercy and truth. Always seek His mercy, always extend His mercy, and always walk in truth. Through marriage, if you're married now, you question whether or not the spouse you have is really the one for you, I'm going to tell you something. Put it all you have into that marriage and let God make y'all into the people that are suitable for each other. I'll tell you what, my wife and I, over 36 years of marriage, have changed a great deal. We've become the people we desired the most. I'll tell you, God had to do a lot of work on both of us. And He'll do that for you, and you'll have favor with God. And then through grace, just recognizing His favor is unmerited. You don't deserve it, for no matter what you've done. Now let me conclude by saying this. Concern yourself with these things and with God's favor. Don't worry about favor with men. We're in a political cycle again. I know it seemed like we're never out of a political cycle. And people are always saying, you know, if I donate to this candidate, then, I'll have some pull with that candidate, or to donate to this person or this local election, then I've got some favor with this person and they can do favor for me. If I do this favor for this person, then they're obligated to me. They'll do a favor for me. Get all that out of your mind. When it comes to favor, don't worry about seeking the ruler's favor. Don't worry about seeking men's favor. All that is fickle. You just find favor with God and let Him determine your favor with man. You understand? Too many people have this flipped. I did. It's the nature of people pleasers. Too many people have this flipped. Let that get back into the right relationship that God wants it to have by making His favor your concern. And then He'll bring you into favor with the people you need to be in favor with. And He won't bring you into favor with the people you don't need to be in favor with. And you don't have to worry about it. Leave that with the Lord. I pray that something in this message today has spoken to your heart, to your mind, about how to have favor with the Lord. And I pray that you will and that you know you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.